Stories about the bright side of education.
Somos Sunnyside.
All right, welcome back, everyone, for our next episode here of Somos Sunnyside. We got a special guest today, someone who is a product of the school district, someone that has done some amazing things and has an amazing story in terms of his career. And we're very lucky to have him back here in the Sunnyside community teaching our students. Our special guest today, and all our guests are special, but we got a very special guest today, is our director of mariachi, director of Los Diablitos, Mr. Roberto Martinez. Bienvenido. Welcome, señor.
Well, thank you very much. Muchísimas gracias.
You know, and I'm sure, like many of our listeners, we're curious to hear your career path. We're curious to hear what your experiences were as a student here in the Sunnyside community and getting the opportunity to pretty much travel the world and doing the thing you love, right? Doing music and performing, you know, all over the place. And so, you know, let's begin with you telling us a little bit about yourself, telling us a little bit about your upbringing and your experiences as a student here in Sunnyside.
Absolutely. I was born in San Diego, California. So I was 5 years old when we moved to Tucson, and I wound up going to St. John the Evangelist there on 12th and Ajo. And I tell you, first grade there was a nun there. She was from Mexico. She saved me because I could not speak English, no English at all. It was all Spanish. My mom spoke, you know, Spanish. My abuelita todo español. But she saved me one way or another. She saved me. I guess it was is meant to be. So I went there all 8 years, and of course then I came to Sunnyside. But at any rate, you know, from Sunnyside I went to the U of A. From the U of A I pursued a career in music. Pero más que nada, music just kind of fell in my lap. I was don't laugh now. I was a pre-dental student.
Oh, wow.
All right? So I missed going to dental school by 0.2 of a grade point average.
Wow.
No que walking nada. Thank God. Thank God. You know, I keep thinking one of my classes, maybe the one I dropped, I don't know. Yeah. But I think about it. You know what? I was pursuing a different type of career as a dentist. Since Arizona at the time didn't have a dental school, the state of Arizona would have provided all the equipment for me, and I would have gone to all the rural areas. Of course, I wanted to be in the mountains and out of the country, todo, so I wound up going to Florida, where it's just flat. And the tallest mountain over there is Thunder Mountain, Space Mountain.
Space Mountain. All the Disney rides.
All
huh?
The Disney rides. Those are the biggest, those are the tallest mountains over there.
Wow.
Pero,
yeah, well, you know, I think, thanks for sharing, you know, just in the few words that you've shared, you know, I hope we have a lot more student listeners, because I know that you can share some of the same experiences you just talked about. You know, I was one of those students as well that English was my second language, and, you know, starting school as a monolingual Spanish speaker, you know, things get challenging, but it's those special people, right? You talked about the nun and cliche, right? God has a plan for us, and you know, there's people that shape our lives at a very young age, you know, and you know, I think, you know, as you say that, a lot of our students can relate to those experiences. And so now you get to do it, right? Now you're doing that, you know, since you've been back here in Tucson, you're shaping the lives of young men and women and providing them opportunities. But before we get into that piece, talk a little bit about how, you know, I know you toured with the famous group Mariachi Cobre and spent many years in Disney World performing. Tell me how that opportunity came about, because, you know, I think the storyline here is dream big, right? I mean, the storyline for our students is have them big dreams, pursue those big dreams. And sometimes the reality is they're not going to work out, but you'll find if you keep working hard, if you keep pursuing your passion and your purpose, things are going to work out. And that's what we need to continue to tell our you know, young students, our up-and-coming students, and our graduates, because, you know, you keep working hard, those things work out for us, you know, and we all can share a story. I wanted to be a professional baseball player, right? And that just didn't happen. And here I am, you know, serving our community. But tell us a little bit about you know, your experiences at Sunnyside High School. What led you on that music path, and what led you to that career with Mariachi Cobre?
Well, even before high school, I was a member of the community group Los Changuitos Feos de Tucson, mm-hmm. and that organization started back in 1964. I joined in 69, so I was like, yeah, second, third generation of that organization, and we were very, very fortunate that we had some influential people on our board. One of them was Mr. Joel Valdez. He was the city manager at the time, and a very influential man, very influential. At any rate, he was on our board. Pero más que nada, we had, while I was in high school, I was able to go to Disneyland four times for the Cinco de Mayo fiestas. So they would send their private jet, their Mickey Mouse plane, pick us up over here at the international airport, there at the executive airport, right. Pick us up and take us to L.A., to Anaheim. So I got to go to Disneyland four times. So in essence, that's where we started to cultivate a relationship with Disney. Mm-hmm. So some of the guys I was working with in Los Changuitos, I was a freshman, they were seniors. So for 1 year, we worked together, we played together, ¿verdad? And they graduated and formed Cobre. Well, they went to Disney World opened in 71, I believe. And so they were there, I think, the summers of 74 and 75. So again, they cultivated that relationship. So come 82, when they open up Epcot, they have a lagoon, and around this lagoon, they have 13 pavilions representing different countries, and of course, Mexico was one of them. So guess what? They wanted a mariachi group. And of course, I joined Cobre in 78. So I've been with them from 78 all the way to 2015. But the thing was, is that while I was going at the U of A and doing my pre-dental stuff, all of a sudden I realized, I said, man, I got to get out of school. You know, I'm on my fifth and sixth year. So I got a degree in education with a Spanish major and a biology minor. I wanted a biology major, but that quantitative chemistry, híjole, man, oh, man.
Te sacó las canas.
Híjole, bueno. I wish I could get canas right now. Pero I dropped it four times. I just, you know, I was just one of those subjects, right? So I opted to go with a minor. At any rate, so that's how it all cultivated. And so with my education degree, we were performing at a restaurant on Tanque Verde in Sabino Canyon Road called Los Yentes. And I guess the Sunnyside board there, they were having some kind of meeting or what have you. So I don't know if Alfonso El Navarrete rings a bell for anybody.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, he was my football coach, mm-hmm. right? Well, guess what? He was there. Hey, Mr. Navarrete, guess what? What? I'm doing my student teaching at Mansfield. Oh, you are? Good. Give me a call when you're finished. So I wound up teaching the first year at Chaparral when it opened in 81-82. So I wound up teaching there. I was in the ESL program, the bilingual block program. I taught Spanish. I took my guitar all the time to my Spanish class. And then the following year, all of a sudden, we auditioned to go to Disney. Ah, caray, it's Disney, Disney World. I mean, we're talking about, you know, halfway across the world here for us, especially us growing up here in the barrio. And so what an opportunity. And I says, okay. By then, I had already started my graduate classes. I already raised my GPA, ¿verdad? He said, no, Florida, okay. I'll go establish residency, que suave, ¿verdad? And I'll apply at UF, you know, because they have a dental school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, nos fuimos. Of course, they weren't very happy at Chaparral, but nos fuimos de Los Maderas. And so, when we, well, you know, of course, I went there for the year. Well, 2 years happened, 3 years happened, 4 years happened, four kids later. Who's going to dental school?
Yeah.
Not me. So I think that's at that point I realized that music was my path.
Right.
And this is what I wanted to do. We were also teaching workshops. We were also teaching in different cities. We were doing conferences. I just love teaching. You know, I mean, I have students even from that time. They'll come up to me even now as adults and say, man, I remember when you taught us this, 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 and this, and that's how they teach. And I think that's, to me, is very gratifying. But see, again, that's in one area that you're able to touch somebody musically, but also socially and emotionally. And so, anyway, so we're out there playing. And all of a sudden, my kids grow up. You know, they're out of the house. It's just my wife and myself and dos perritos. And an opportunity came to go to Chicago to go teach. So CPS opened up 4 schools in mariachi programs when I had one of the schools. So vamos. Everybody thought I was crazy for leaving Disney. I says, you know what? I want to teach. I want to leave a legacy at that, you know, at that magnitude. And so I left. And then unfortunately, you know, a situation happened here at Sunnyside where, you know, Cuco del Cid had passed away, and the superintendent at the time, Mr. Steve Holmes, gives me a call. Hey, Roberto, you want to come back home? I says, yes, but I didn't use those words. I says, yes, I would love to go. But I'll be honest with you, the first thing I did was I called my kids. I says, all 4 of them. I says, you know what? I says, this opportunity came up, and they all said, Dad, take it, man. Well, that's the way I brought them up. Take those opportunities. Something comes up, you know, an opportunity comes up, take it. And that's how I brought them up.
Yeah. And you know, I think we had this conversation a few weeks back. You know, I have a lot of respect for those individuals that take those risks. I'm not a risk taker, but when those opportunities come up, whether it be out of state, you know, across the nation, and you taking those, and you know, I'm glad that our listeners are hearing this, you know, because you're this Southside, you know, raised young man, and you took a risk and went on to live in Orlando and spent 20 some years there, 33 years to be exact, and you were successful. You know, you were successful, and you followed your passion and your purpose, and you know, the skills that you had as a musician and performing, and those you know, opened up doors in Chicago for you. And I want to, you know, throw in this piece here, this little caveat piece here of you know, education is important. You know, you never gave up on your education. I know with a lot of our athletes, a lot of our musicians, they chase that dream, and sometimes you got to have something to fall back on, right? And so that's where education comes in. You know, it's a career, not a job, and it was nice that you had that opportunity to come back and teach, right? You started teaching, you went to go perform, and then you came back home to do some teaching here. So, you know, what an experience, what a story, you know, to tell. And you know, one of the things that, you know, I'm hoping our listeners are hearing this piece of, go ahead and take that risk, you know, go try it out. You know, you'll never know if you don't experience it, right? And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But if it does, then, you know, you're gonna prolong that career and that success. And so, you know, one of the things that I've noticed from behind the scenes as you've joined and come back to the Sunnyside community is you know, you hit the ground running. And one of the with the mariachi program with Los Diablitos, and you know, one of the things I admire about you and our students, Los Diablitos, is all the community service projects you guys do, all the community service opportunities and tocadas that you guys have around town and even out of town. And so I know last year you did over 100 some gigs with the kids, and you know, it's el orgullo, no, of our community, in terms of, it's, I love to see the Diablitos performing and being, you know, having center stage at a lot of these events that you take them to. So, you know, it's not just about, And correct me if I'm wrong, but when I look at it from the outside, it's not just about being a performer. It's not just about being a musician. You teach these young men and women how to be people, life skills they need, and teach them how to grow as individuals, you know, to be successful and chase those dreams. And I love seeing that, you know. I mean, sometimes, and I'm probably going to upset some of our directors and musicians around town that are listening to this, but sometimes they want the limelight. Sometimes they want the spotlight, is probably a better word. And they're there performing in the center of their kids. And you always take that back seat. I notice you're, you know, I like to read body language of individuals. And you always take that back seat. And you expect kids to take on those leadership roles. They speak, they introduce themselves as Los Diablitos, and they perform, and you kind of just give them, like, you're like that baseball coach, just giving them the hand signals and the head nods and they step up, or the look, right? Or the look, like, hey, you guys should be standing over here. But I really admire that, and I really respect that, because you're teaching them to take leadership opportunities, and I don't know if other people notice it, but I noticed that right away. And you've taken, you know, we you know, again, you know, our respects to the late Cuco del Cid, who really, you know, brought this program up, and you've continued that, and you've taken it to a whole nother level. And I say that confidently. And so talk a little bit about that, because I know that's, you know, in education, we talk about intentionality. I know it's intentional. I know it's not, you know, it's by design. It's just not, you know, happening for on its own. So tell us a little bit about that piece.
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, I'm a big advocate of empowerment. You know, I really want to empower these kids. I really want them to take those steps forward. I want them, you know, they think, or they may feel that they're not ready, but they are ready. You know, to take on some of those responsibilities. Of course, they're high school kids, and I understand that. But I push them. I push them. I remember Coach Navarrete. He pushed us, and that was a long time ago. I remember some of my coaches, you know, some of my teachers, they pushed us. You know, we didn't like it, but we did. And now when we look back in retrospect, it's like, wow, I'm glad they did.
It's that vulnerability, right? It makes you feel uncomfortable, but... Yeah. You got to make a decision in the moment, and I think when someone empowers you, you know, it's you learn to have confidence in yourself, right? You learn to feel that, you know what, I do belong, I can do this, and it gets easier the more and more you do it. And so I love hearing, you know, they're so well spoken, you know, the students when they're at events, you know, representing, you know, Los Diablitos, they always make sure to mention you as their director. And you know, I just love that piece, because our students are doing great things, and they're having great experiences. And yes, it's I do believe in this piece of, and I've said it before, of school connectedness, right? There's something that brings our students to school every day, something that motivates our students, and that's different for everybody, right? And in this case, it's music, you know. In some cases, in your case, when you were in school, it was athletics and music, and so, so that's super empowering. I thank you for believing in our kids. I mean, talk a little bit about your transition here to back to Tucson, because I know the weather had to be a little bit of a change, right? Coming from Chicago to sunny Tucson, right?
I still had my snow boots and all my jackets. They're in storage. Yeah.
Well, you didn't have to shovel any snow, right?
No, but there's some sand.
Sand.
El caliche también.
Puro polvito, and they have to sweep it off, right? All the tierra that gets on your driveway.
I kept thinking to myself, I says, I would love to come back to Tucson. But I kept thinking, what would I do? Seriously, what would I do? I had really no clue on what I would do here. I says, I can come back and teach, but I'm not going to take somebody's job. I says, you got a bunch of young guys here, and they're good. You got Johnny at Pueblo. You got Ruben, Mr. Loya at Choya. You got Mr. Enriquez at Tucson High. I mean, you got all these great guys, these great teachers over there. I says, I'm not going to come in and try to.
But we got Mr. Martinez.
Well, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You know, but really, one of the biggest, I guess, motivators was my dad. You know, I mean, we've been away for 36 plus years, you know, being in Florida, and then I was in Chicago. Yes, we come and visit, but it's not the same when you visit. You know, it's you know, you want to live with them. It's que convivir con ellos. What an opportunity. What an opportunity to be with my dad. My mom passed away 15 years ago, but my dad was still alive. And then to come back to Sunnyside and to teach mariachi. ¿Qué más quería? You know? I mean, it was all there for me. And I'm very, very blessed that all of that fell in. You know, I thoroughly enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoy and seeing the kids grow, not just musically, But as young adults, I mean, it just blows me away, you know. And I said, I keep thinking, I said, I don't think I ever this mature when I was in high school, you know. We were still out there messing around, doing this, doing that. But you know what? I mean, but in all honesty, I don't think I was really given that opportunity in high school, you know, to take that type of leadership role. I firmly believe that. I think it's important for them to take control. They make their song list. They do their own MC. I teach them how to work within the ensemble. You know, you have certain principles within each section, and everybody follows them. Those are leadership roles. You're right. There's times I just take a step back and, hey, you know what? All I do is just go in early somewhere and I says, okay, where are the kids playing? You know, do we have sound? Do you have food for them? You know,
that's right.
I do all of that for them. And then I says, Mina, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to stand. And this is your audience.
Right.
Go for it.
Please enjoy this song break by Mariachi Los Diablitos.
Cariño, hermoso cariño, que Dios me ha mandado a ser destinado no más para mí, precioso regalo del cielo llegado. Que me ha colmado de dicha y amor, hermoso cariño.
And you know, and you know, we you jokingly say we have food for them, but you know, you're such an advocate for our students, and I've seen it where, you know, one of the things I always look at when we go to these events and Los Diablitos are performing, and usually it's at a luncheon, it's at a big kickoff ceremony, breakfast, and you always look out for our kids. And I truly appreciate that, because the first thing I ask is, hey, are they feeding our kids? And you have already taken care of that, right? So, I mean, you have a special relationship with our students. I mean, and we, you know, in education, we talk about how important relationships are. And I think you demonstrate just that perfect balance of, you know, you're down to earth. They know you're genuine with them. You're authentic with them. But at the same time, they respect you. And there's that professional piece of it where they know you're still their leader, but they know you're giving them every opportunity to be leaders, right? And there's this fine balance, and they don't cross that line, and they're super respectful young men and women. And we're putting a plug in here because we want to attract all those young kids that are interested in mariachi, you know, and I know you do a great job of reaching out to the young ones as well. And so I wish I had a student here, because I would have loved to have asked them about the student experience being a member of the Mariachi Los Diablitos. And so in your student voice, how would you describe how a student would articulate that experience, that student experience of being a member of Los Diablitos? And you're chuckling, so I think you have a good sense of how they would describe
it. I don't know if it's a good sense. They'd probably say, Este Martinez, man, I don't know, you know. You know what? That's a very good question, because I ask them that all the time, especially when we go to some type of a performance or some kind of an event where, you know, the organizers will ask that question. I joined the South Tucson Lions Club for several reasons. Not only are they involved in the community, I wanted my kids to be involved in the community. So I asked them for scholarships, and I got them. So I was instrumental in putting that application together. And one of those questions is, what influence does mariachi have in your high school life? And it's amazing that what you hear from these kids. You know, it motivates them. It motivates them. It bridges the gap, you know, that generation gap, you know, with their parents, their abuelitos, and so forth and so forth. And, you know, and they speak Spanish. A lot of these kids, they're losing the ability to speak Spanish, much less the ability to write, you know. But yeah, it does all of those things and brings them back to some of their roots. We talk a lot about the, you know, the roots, where the mariachi came from. Well, what does it entail? What is a mariachi? You know, hopefully they begin to understand that, because they don't know. I mean, they really don't know. Quite honestly, I mean, you know, even in Cobre, I mean, we're all from here. We didn't grow up in Mexico.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, as opposed to Cuco. If you think about Cuco and his upbringing, he worked a lot in Mexico. He knew what it was like to be a mariachi performer in Mexico. And it was tough. It was tough, from what I understand. But that goes for a lot of you and the guys in Vargas. You know, it was just a tough, tough career. It was a tough profession for them. But for us, all of a sudden, it was like, streamlining.
Right, right.
And we got very, very lucky. But you know, the other thing, and let me talk a little bit about luck. You know, luck is good, but you have to be ready when that door of opportunity becomes open for you. You know, we talked a little bit about that. And that's what I try to get across to the kids. I says, be ready. When that door opens, be ready. You know, don't wait and say, oh yeah, wait a minute, I need another month. Oh, I need this,
right.
Oh, I need that. No, no, no.
Right.
I says, be ready. Because
yeah.
You never know when that door is going to open. And again, I've been very, very fortunate. When that door's open for me, I have to admit that I was ready, and I move forward.
And be confident that you're ready, right? And so those you know, we're talking a lot about experiences here, and you know, I just, again, you know, just going back to the students. I mean, there's a lot of pride, and I think you bring up important pieces of tradition and culture, right? And so, you know, it's important to. You know, to relive those moments, right? To be educated on those pieces, because I know we just did a 16 de septiembre, you know, show there at Sunnyside, and they did the whole El Grito and Día de Independencia de México, and you know, it was just a really powerful, powerful show. And you know, we had the Los Diablitos Folclórico perform, as well as the mariachi, and so just a lot of school spirit, but a lot of spirit in terms of a tradition and culture, right? And so, speaking of culture, speaking of community, I want to congratulate you, as you know, Mr. Martinez was just awarded the Tucson Roadrunners Community Partner of the Year, and that just, you know, earlier we were talking about community service, and I know, you know, as humble as you are, you share that that recognition with your students, right? And you share that recognition because, you know, they're a part of who you are, and you know, it's just well deserved, and I'm jealous, because I always wanted like this jersey given to me with my last name on it, but I wanted to earn it, right? I don't want people just to give me a jersey. And you got one, man. And so it's a if you haven't seen it, go to our website. There's pictures up there of Mr. Martinez and his jersey, and he's most proud of the last name on it instead of the Roadrunners piece, but it has el lazo on the front. And you know, and I'm glad people are recognizing that. You know, earlier I said last year you guys had over 100 and some community service gigs that you did, and I know as a district, as the governing board, we recognized you all at the beginning of the year for that, because it has to go, it has to be noticed. And I'm glad that the Tucson Roadrunners, I happened to be there when you got the award, and thank you for the invite. Thank the Tucson Roadrunners for the invite, and they claim Los Diablitos as their how did they say? Help me out with how they say it. The band of the Tucson Roadrunners, Los Diablitos.
Yeah,
the official band of the Tucson Roadrunners is the Los Diablitos. We gotta change that to the official mariachi group of the Tucson Roadrunners. But you know, tell us a little bit about that moment. How did that feel sharing that award with your students, sharing it with your wife who was there? You know, I think a lot of time us individuals that are in leadership roles, we have to have a lot of support from home, right? I mean, we're gone a lot. We're at all these events because we're there with our students, and sometimes our families kind of suffer the consequences a little bit because we're gone so much. And so it was nice to see you and your wife there and sharing that moment together, but also sharing it with the students.
I think it's important that the students be recognized. I mean, you know, I was pleasantly surprised the night that we played there for the Roadrunners, and they had mentioned to me, says, hey, you know, after the first period, why don't you come up to the platform, and you know, I want you to meet Mr. Gutierrez, which is the CEO from the Coyotes, Los Yotes, and also meet the owner of the Roadrunners. Says, oh, cool. Yeah, I'm gonna rub elbows with these guys, you know. But I had known Mr. Gutierrez from last year. And I said, well, pretty neat, you know, I'll go out. And then all of a sudden, you know, they surprised me and they recognized me with this jersey, which I was just totally, totally surprised. What I was thinking in the back of my mind, I says, where are my kids? Because they had gone. Yeah. They had left. Yeah. And I says, God, had I known, I would have thrown the stake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pero ni modo. So when Mr. Denny had called me in regard to the luncheon, I just flat out asked him. I says, I'd like to take the kids. I says, we'll go play for your guests. I says, oh, what a wonderful idea. He said, he was 100% in agreement with that. And I says, well, yeah, I need to share this recognition with the students, you know. And so at any rate, they get recognized. They know it. They know it too, you know. And I honestly, I'll use my name and Cobra's name to move things, but I'll put them in front. And I always do. You always have.
You know, your students have always come first, and it was cool being at the luncheon. They had these two big screens that were the size of a wall, and there it is. You know, Community Partner of the Year, Roberto Martinez up there, and when they announced it. And shared it with the audience there. It was just a real cool moment. But, you know, and being Mr. Martinez, being the person you are, you didn't go up there. You didn't go up there and share. And I would have thrown the jersey on and had this dramatic entrance, right, with the hockey stick and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, your kids went up there.
That's right.
So you had students go up there, and they were stretching that jersey from, you know, manga to manga. Their sleeves were stretched out, and Martinez, you know, coming across the showing there, you know, towards the audience. And so what a cool moment to share with your students. You know, it just teaches students that, you know, if you work hard, continue to work hard, and treat people right, you know. These things happen, you know, and you don't ask for these recognitions. It just, you know, they happen because they're well-deserved. And so congratulations, felicidades for that. I mean, what an honor, you know, for you and for the district and for the students. And so, you know,
just a real quick comment. Did you notice where we sat?
We sat in the center.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And there's almost all the other times we're sitting in the back of the side. So yeah. This time we were right behind the
bosses, the bigwigs there,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So we were right in the middle. And
yeah,
when I saw that, I said, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it showed a lot, you know, from the organization, in my opinion. You know,
a lot of respect for the Tucson Roadrunners for, you know, in what I've seen from behind the scenes is they've been super welcoming and they're treating you the way you deserve to be treated, you know, and for all you've done for them. And so, again, just what an awesome recognition. And you know, you've been, you know, it's un placer, you know, interviewing here today and for our listeners. And you're just a true role model. You're a true, true role model. You're a true example of what our kids can do, of young kids growing up in this community can go out and do great things and have a fabulous career and do it the right way. And so you exemplify, you know, what it means to be, you know, a Sunnyside grad, what it means to be a product of this Sunnyside community. And, you know, and I want to do two things. One is, I see you brought your is it the viruela, guitarrón? I'm going to screw it up.
It's la viruela mexicana.
Viruela mexicana. Okay. Thank you for the correction. I got no musical talent, but a lo mejor te puedo dar segunda voz or something like that, right? Go. I mean, I'm pretty good with that. I know the little rhythms at the end of the song. So we want to get to that song. We want to get you playing your vihuela. And but
what song do you want to hear?
Oh my God!
Oye, yo no soy cantante, ¿eh? No.
Pues te ayudo ahí, vale. Te voy a asistir. Te voy a apoyar. But before we get to that, I want to leave you with this question. What does this community mean to you? What does the Sunnyside community mean to you? And if there's a message you have out there for all students, right? Not just the Diablitos, but for all students, what would that be?
That's a very interesting question. So I'm going to backtrack all the way to my high school years, and that is that when I was in Los Changuitos Feos, we traveled to Chicago, to Wisconsin, to Ohio, to Seattle, San Francisco. We traveled New Mexico, Wyoming, Colorado, and so forth. So at a young age, I was able to see a lot. We stayed at doctors' homes, especially in Chicago, up in Lake Forest. Are you kidding? This ain't South Tucson. this ain't my barrio. You know, all of a sudden, it just opened up my eyes to a lot. Now, was I gearing to move out of Tucson? No. But I had those experiences. And those are the things that I wanted to share when I was teaching at Chaparral. Okay? All of a sudden, the whole Epcot, the whole Disney thing, just boom, it just fell right on our lap. And I took advantage of it. But you know, I think if anything, it's just an opportunity. Show these kids they have opportunities. That's all. Just show them that they have opportunities. You know, they don't have to be, and I'm going to say the word stuck, but they don't have to be stuck here. You know, yeah, they come back. I came back, you know, there's a lot of other teachers that have come back, you know, you've come back.
Yeah. No. And I think a lot of us are, you know, I'm just going to say the word and probably offend a few people, but we're chipilones, you know. We grow up in this community, and many times we don't see what's outside of it. You know, we have a lot of pride in our community, but we have to take those risks to see what's outside. You know, Absolutely. What does the world have to offer us? And you know, you call it homesickness. A lot of our kids get homesick, you know, when they leave the state to go to school or leave the state for a job, and right. You know, they have to learn how to overcome those things. You know, those are just temporary things that are difficult and challenges at the time, and you know, even as adults, those things are hard, right? Even as adults. And so when you make those major changes, major shifts, you know, they can be difficult. But you know, I'm glad that our listeners are hearing this. I mean, just you know, very inspirational in terms of what can be done. Follow, you know, it's cliche, right? Follow your dreams, you know.
Sure.
Everybody
sure
says, and but I think you hit it right on the nose, is be ready for those opportunities. Opportunities will come.
I think so. I think, you know, not only be ready. I think one of the biggest challenges, if you want to call it, that I had in moving away, and that was that my children grew up not knowing their grandparents. Yes, we came to visit, mm-hmm. but they didn't know. Mm-hmm. And when I think back in retrospect, I says, wow, they really lost out. But so did my parents, and mm-hmm. so did my suegros.
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably the biggest challenge, I suppose. I guess
right,
that's the word, you know.
Right.
I mean, we would even send, when we could, we would send our kids by themselves.
Right.
When we could, not anymore.
I mean, you know, success has sacrifices, right?
Sure.
And so those sacrificios are difficult. And like they say, success doesn't come without a price. And but you know, I think I would say you made the best decision for your family in the moment, in the time, and you know, it's where our careers take us sometimes. And
yeah.
So, you know, congratulations. What a phenomenal experience you've had. You know, I do want to share that. It's funny, I just thought about this, but Chaparral was my first job too. You know, I mean, when I graduated, I taught at Chaparral my first year. For our listeners, Chaparral middle school doesn't exist anymore. Now it is Gallego Intermediate, Fine Arts exactly. Intermediate. And so, but, you know, it's pretty ironic that we got our start, you know, a few years later. I got my start, but.
Thank you.
No vamos a hablar de esto. But I'm ready, man. What do you got for us? What are you going to play for us?
Well, I don't know.
I just know the sas and
So one of the things that, especially with this particular instrument, you know, is we call it La Vihuela Mexicana because the original vihuela comes from Spain and it comes from Portugal. And it's a different instrument. So we always refer to this one as La Vihuela Mexicana. And we're accompaniment is what we are. So, you know, to play a melody on this, no se presta.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's all rhythmic. It's all rhythmic is what we do in accompaniment. And it's very different from the guitar because it's a tenor sound, very high. Whereas the guitar, you have your treble strings and then you have your bass strings, so you have that wider range of pitch. Pero anyways, what would you like to sing? I'm gonna put this on you now.
I gotta get started. I'm just like I said. Soy segunda voz, yo. I mean, other than the tan tan, I mean, it's hard for me to.
Well, okay. Hablando del tan tan.
Yo te voy a seguir el rollo como dicen.
Ah, sí, verdad. So let me talk a little bit about some of the rhythms.
Okay.
If that's okay. Oh, yeah, so some of the rhythms. I mean, you know, you talk about the tan tan, verdad? So we do all the tan.
That's the campfire song.
That's una rancherita,
sí,
verdad?
Sí.
But there's a lot of intricate rhythms that we do. One of them is the huapango. And the huapango, you know, I'll talk a little bit about music right now, but it's in a 3-4-6-8 time. Okay, so so you can sing. Sing that one. And then we have the son jalisciense, which is from Jalisco. And it's kind of in the same time signature, ¿verdad? Pero poquito más con gusto, ¿verdad?
Wow.
Yes. So, you know, to me, those are the nuances of playing this particular instrument. And they're not easy to play. I mean, they're not easy to play. The other one that I just want to mention is called the joropo. And the joropo comes from Venezuela. And, you know, now the mariachis use it all the time, you know.
That's the little Antonio Banderas one right there, right?
There you have it, man. See, all of a sudden.
I watch movies. I don't know anything about music, but I watch movies.
how about Desperado.
El Rey.
That's all.
It's El Rey. What would you call that style?
Es una ranchera. Es una ranchera. Y luego una ranchera lenta. Because it changes time. I don't know if you noticed that. So I'll start off in a 3-4. Da da di da 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 da. 1-2-3-1. Da 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 da.
Well, since we got El Rey in the house, why don't we give that a shot,
right?
Let's give un riesgo aquí. Let's take a risk and sing it. Yo te sigo.
Una piedra del camino me enseñó que mi destino era rodar y rodar,
rodar y rodar, rodar y rodar.
Después me dijo un arriero que no hay que llegar primero, pero hay que saber llegar. Con dinero y sin dinero, yo hago siempre lo que quiero, y mi palabra es la ley. No tengo trono ni reina, y nadie quien me comprenda, pero sigo siendo el rey.
Bravo, bravo.
Te echaste la La segunda bien. There you go.
Te dije la segunda y luego.
I had to change keys because it seems too high.
No, that was cool. That was a cool moment. Gosh, it just reminds me of you know my tios around the campfire. Después que se han tomado unas Pepsis, you know,
sí,
and so you know it's cultura, no? It's a culture thing, and it brings back a lot of memories.
And it's folkloric music, and when you start to define what folkloric is, it's música de la gente.
Yeah,
anything is de la gente, whatever people do. Heck, the mariachis used to be any musicians that were in the town. Yeah. Oye, si los mariachis, pues hay un saxofón, hay un bajo sexto, todos los mariachis. Yeah. Yeah. Until it became a little bit more standardized.
You know, as a principal, it's funny you say that, you know, and I was in my principal times at Desert View, and, you know, kids bring their instruments to school. Sometimes they're not even involved with the mariachi or the band, but they got their own little groups, and you have all kinds of different music that just motivate kids. And, you know, you have your techno bandas, you got the accordion, the little... And I remember showing up one day to school. It was, you know, high schools, you start 7:20, it was... about 6:45 in the morning, and I saw this crowd of people in the mall area, and I'm running over there. I have my radio. I'm a rookie administrator, and I'm like, hey, I think there's a fight. There's something going on up there in the mall area. I need some help and this and that. And all it was kids playing their instruments, playing a song, and everybody gathering around in the morning. What a beautiful moment, right? Here we are thinking there's a pleito and a fight going on, and all they were was just gathering and enjoy music.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So, you know, one of my goals when I retire, if I ever retire, is I want to learn to play the guitar for that moment, right, of sitting around the campfire and just, you know.
Well, I got my fourth period, begin the guitar, you're welcome anytime.
I know, I'm going to have to go in there and get some lessons. But I'll tell you what, man, I'm like, you know, when they say you got two left feet, I think I got two left hands when it comes to instruments.
And I do too. My wife loves to dance. You never mind.
But, well, any closing comments, Mr. Martinez?
Well,
I mean,
you know,
it's been a pleasure. It really has.
I appreciate that very, very much for this opportunity to speak about the program, to speak about, you know, our mariachi kids and a little bit about my trajectory. You know, it's not as stellar as you portray it to be. It's been hard work. It's been a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it's been very gratifying and very satisfying. And, you know, one of the things that I look forward to is to see our kids grow. And it's not easy. You know, sometimes I run them through the ringer. And hopefully they'll come back and say, you know what? Maybe Mr. Martinez was correct. Maybe he was right.
Yeah.
You know, I have... So speaking about how the little boy, la verdad, que todos ellos were out there running to see how un pleito, ¿verdad? So this week has been the week for my classes. We go to the 100 hall to go to the tap to go see the niños.
Uh-huh.
And so we go and we play for them.
Wow.
You know, granted, you know, they only know two or three songs. And then we go to the foyer there in the admin. And we're there right in front of Miss Denise Bravo. Pues también salen los counselors y salen todas. Todo el barullo, ¿verdad? But you know what? What it does, they may not know a lot of their stuff musically, but they start to gain confidence because now they're in front of people, and especially their peers. Are you kidding?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be in front of your peers? Forget it, man.
Yeah.
You know, but anyways.
It's just a good vibe, right?
You
know, you hear music, you know.
Absolutely.
Makes you happy, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, makes you happy when you hear that music, and it gives you the chills. You feel it inside of you, you know, and especially when we see our young students singing, right?
Yeah.
And you can tell when they sing from the heart, and when you see that, it just gives you chills. And so, you know, I want to thank you. I mean, in the last few words you had is what I expected from Mr. Martinez, super humble, super selfless here in terms of you know, giving all the accolades to the students. But, you know, it's a pleasure to have you work for us in the district and serve our community and serve our students, you know, because we need people like you who deeply care about our students and deeply care about the outcomes our students have. And I guarantee you many of our students are going to remember those lifelong lessons and remember the experiences they had in your program. And and I'm sure they'll contact you. There's no better feeling, right, than when ex-students contact you and thank you, and you see them being successful, having jobs and their careers and having families, you know, and you know, being great participants in the community. And so, you know, it fue un placer, you know, y un honor, really. I mean, an honor to interview you and for our listeners. And so, muchísimas gracias. I want to thank the listeners for tuning in to another episode of Somos Sunnyside. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and found it entertaining. So if you'd like to hear a little bit more, don't forget to subscribe and share our podcast with La Comunidad for updates on the future episodes and more. Be sure to follow us on social media and visit our website at susd12.org. We appreciate your support and can't wait to have you back for the next episode. Hasta la próxima vez en Somos Sunnyside. Muchísimas gracias, señor.
Sí, cómo no. Gracias.
Somos Sunnyside.